Mr. A.W. Phillips, Reel 4. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
You were telling me about the bombs.
Oh, yes. Where we got held up, that's right, yes. And they sent the Gurkhas out to try and dislodge them on this mountainside. And they put the searchlights on so that they could show up the enemy for them to fire. Then there was all this rifle fire and bombing, you know, and it went on pretty well all night. But I might tell you that I was so tired I went to sleep. But when I woke up in the morning, they were still at it. And when they eventually retired, they brought back 9 dead and several injured. No, they'd been pretty good. And we got no trouble in the camp itself. So we were very lucky. If they hadn't gone out, we'd have caught it, you know, caught a packet.
So the Gurkhas took all those casualties in order that you should be safe.
Yes, right. Quite right, yes. Yes.
So there's no wonder that you had a good opinion of the Gurkhas, really, is there?
Yes, well, of course, they fought in France during that war, the First World War, you see. It's just the same. You see, they talk about this racial business, you see. But when you come and look back, you've got to thank the Indians for a lot in the First World War, because they were in with us and they did a lot for us, you know, which proves the number that we had in Brighton here. Well, I wasn't here at the time, I know, but I heard all about it when I got home. So that really they were with us at that time, the Gurkhas and the Indians.
Didn't you nearly shoot some Gurkhas by accident once on the frontier?
Oh, yes, there was... yes, they remained back in camp while we advanced. And I think there was a Major Hart and several Gurkhas were killed because they mounted back, they fired on the wrong hill. I don't know whose fault that was, I'm sure, but that's the information we got.
Can you tell me about how you got on with the camels there that were carrying those loads on the...
I was always upset about that because, as you know, a box of ammunition is pretty heavy, and two fellas carrying it can't carry it very far. But we had to load these poor animals up with 7 boxes of ammunition they carried. There were 3 on each side and 1 on the top, and I really felt terrible having to, you know, to load them up with such a load. But they managed it, and although I understood that some of them, slipped and broke their legs and had to be destroyed, but whether that was true or not, I don't know. I could understand it if it was, because the weight must be terrific. Have you ever seen a box of ammunition, I suppose?
No.
No, they're about as big as that.
That's, what, about 2 feet long?
About
18 inches?
About a couple of feet long. And then they've got a rope handle on each side. And one man, you know, 2 men carry it, you see. And it's a terrific weight. And as I say, these poor old camels, they do have 7 of them. Terrible.
Did anybody on our side get killed by accident by our own troops in that campaign?
Oh, that was the one that I was talking about, wasn't it? When the mountain battery fired on the wrong hill.
Was that the only incident?
That was the only incident, yes, as far as I know. Yeah.
You were telling me that earlier on that the Air Force was being used during that campaign.
Oh, yes. Yes, I was telling some friends about that, and they couldn't quite believe that it was true, because they didn't think there was aeroplanes to that extent at that time, but there was. And they used to go forward, and of course they hadn't got radio in those days, and they used to come back and drop their messages from the plane, information.
So they weren't used for combat?
Oh no, it was only for reconnaissance, that's all. They're biplanes, of course, not the aeroplanes you've got today.
were these two campaigns on the frontier the only two campaigns you were actually engaged in whilst you were in India?
Yes.
Or were there any more?
No, that was the only two that I had anything to do with at all.
Were you in India whilst all the riots were going on in the Punjab?
No.
In 1919?
No, that was the battalion was there, but I wasn't. I'd been sent to Pune for on a training course, signalling training course, and they were there at that time. Yeah.
Was there any trouble?
There was another thing that when we were for Rosa poor, we had the flu epidemic, if you remember. Well, would you know we were bearing five a day from the hospital. And in Bob Bay, in one day, there was over 700 died from that that flu. That was really terrific at that time. I know I used to... there was one fellow I particularly remember. Of course, at Pune, you see, you've got all regiments represented there. There's all different regiments represented at that place. And there was one fellow there that was a Brighton fellow. He's a big fellow. And I miss him one day. And I said, "Where's so-and-so?" So he says, "Oh, she's dead and buried, 24 hours. And I was just sat on the veranda, and, you know, it used to worry me because the hospital just across the road, and it was really terrific, the number that's being lost, you know, dying from this flu. It was really terrible.
Did you get it yourself?
No.
Which year was it, 19...
It'd be end of 1917, I believe. Might have been early 18. No, I'm not quite sure about the date there. Must have been 17 because that was before we went up the frontier.
Were the symptoms of the flu just the same as the symptoms of flu nowadays, or was there any difference?
Well, I think it was was pretty well universal because, I mean, they even had it in France at that time. So where it started from, I just don't know. It was really terrible.
But was it just the same flu that we have nowadays?
I don't think so. No, I think it was some... they have isolated these things, haven't they? Doctors and that, so there are different kinds of flu, it seems to be, but this one was you just don't know where it comes from.
To come back to those riots that took place in Punjab, you said that your unit, which you had left back in the Punjab, were involved in putting them down. Was there any trouble in Pune, because you were in Pune at the time, weren't you?
Oh, yes. So, no, there's no trouble there.
So you didn't see any sign of agitation or disturbance?
No, nothing at all there, no.
Were you in contact with your mates in your unit in the Punjab at that time?
No.
Did you see them afterwards?
Yes. I saw some of them when I got back to England.
Did they tell you about those riots?
They just mentioned them, you know, nothing special, really.
So they didn't tell you about what they were involved in at the time, what type of duties they had? And...
No, only got the information through some letters that I received that what had happened up there. That was the only...
Who were the letters from?
From a pal of mine was there.
In your unit?
That's right. Mm.
What did he say in his letters?
Oh, he told me about the uproar and that had been there and the numbers had been killed. And but apart from that, there was, you know, nothing very much to it, really. You got so used to killing in those days, it seemed to me, that, you know, you just... let it go by.
What did you think had caused these riots? What did you think was the cause of them?
Well, there again, I believe it was mostly the students. But why, I just don't know. No idea.
Did you get any news of any atrocities occurring at that time?
No, not at all.
Could we talk about the barracks life? We mentioned a little bit about it earlier. But can you tell me what the barrack rooms were like? How did they compare with barracks in England? The actual rooms.
Oh, well, I was never in barracks in England. Because, of course, we were on the move, you see, right from the start. The barracks out there were really, really beautiful places, really. I mean, the stone floors, of course, but plenty, you know, nice and open spaced, not partitioned off or anything of that sort. You've got just one big bungalow, and they'd got glass doors and that sort. They nearly always stood wide open, and if you wanted to close them, of course, you've got Venetians, then the Venetian doors with no glass or anything. And I remember one evening we were all the football fields and all the rest of it, all the sports, all, you know, going outside, and I looked down the up at the sky and I saw this red cloud coming up. So of course I told some of the other fellows about it, and they looked up. They said, "Oh yes, a dust storm coming." So everybody just cleared all straight into the barracks, shut the doors, and waited for it, and it came. And I think it blew sand and all the rest of it for about half an hour. It was really, really terrific. And of course, having no glass or anything in the doors, it came in through the Venetians. And the next couple of days, we had a hell of a job clearing everything up, because you got your kit bags and all the rest of it. But that was the only time I ever got any sort of a dust storm.
Were you practically suffocated at the time?
It's a horrible smell, you know. You get the rain coming down on dry ground very often. You get a smell, but this was a dank, horrible smell, you know.
You were telling me earlier about the type of rations that you had. And you said you couldn't particularly remember what type of food it was.
A lot of it was goat's meat. We had quite a amount of goat's meat. But, you know, that's a funny thing that I can't... I can remember everything else except the food we had. Peculiar, that, isn't it? Except, of course, when we were on the front, we knew what we had then or what we didn't have. Really funny.
How did you pay for the food? Did you have a ration allowance?
No. It was we were only getting a shilling a day, you know, at that time when we first went in, when we first called up, shilling a day. Oh, we did get five golden sovereigns though when we were called up. It was calling up money. That was nice. You haven't seen a golden sovereign, have you?
No.
We had five of them. I wish I'd kept them. They'd be worth something now. Goodness. And, that was all in your... that was all, you know, all in, you didn't have any allowance. You had an allowance for kit. You know, if you had to buy razors or anything of that sort, you had an allowance for that. But for food, of course, that was... All came in the...
The army just served it up to you.
That's right.
You had some problems with birds trying to pinch your food, didn't you?
Oh yes. Oh, that was well. Of course, we, ourselves. I believe we didn't have many mess tables, if I remember right. They used to bring the stuff across from the cookhouse to the bungalow, you know, in dixies, and sold out there. But a man came off. If any fellow come off duty beyond the bill time, then he had to go across to the cookhouse to get his food. And these are called kite hawks, quite a big bird. And if you weren't careful, you lost your dinner on your way back to the barracks, because the bird simply flew down and took it straight off your plate.
Whilst you were carrying it?
Yeah, while you're carrying it, yes. So I used to say the best thing to do is to put your helmet over it and chance getting the sun in the back of your neck. That's the best way out of it.
Didn't you have some fun with those bands?
Oh, yes, we did have, yes. There was... We used to tie two bits of meat together on a piece of string and throw them out. Of course, two birds would come along and pick them up. And we used to see them flying off in the distance. I don't know how they separate themselves. I suppose they did eventually by eating the meat. But I'll tell you, it was very funny.
Didn't you have one of those hawks pretending to be dead at once?
Yes, we picked up one. I don't know what happened to it, whether it's anybody hit it or what happened, but we picked it up, we thought it was dead. And we picked it up and took it in the bungalow and just dropped it on the bed and started talking. Then all of a sudden we heard this fluttering and we looked around and it just took off, fled off the bed, out the bungalow. That was proper, canny. Yeah.
Did you find that the food you got in barracks was suitable for Indian conditions at all?
Well, we used to get this... quite enough to eat, really, but if you wanted more, of course, you went out of the canteen. And you'd get a good dinner there for fourpence.
From the canteen?
Yeah. Canteen at that time.
Who ran the canteen?
Oh, the contractor. You got the Indian contractor. He contracts to do the job. And good cigar for a halfpenny. Very nice.
The what?
A good cigar after dinner for a halfpenny.
Good cigar?
Yes, good cigar for a halfpenny after dinner at that time. I don't know what they're like now. But, you could get... about 10 oranges for a penny at that time.
Can you remember any more prices?
Mangoes, they were about a penny each. They were beautiful fruit. I'd heard that from my father because he was out in Burma at one time. And the lovely fruit, that is, mangoes. And cigarettes were cheap. But when you realise... that the Indians had a 12th of a penny that you could buy something with it. You wouldn't believe it, would you?
12th of an anna.
12th of an anna. Mm. I've got one in there. Mm. 1915.
What could you buy for one pie?
One orange.
For one pie?
One pie, yeah. Oh, you know it's a pie.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. What was the money like when you were out there? You say, what?
Oh, they changed it.
They hadn't got a pie then, had they, anymore? No, I shouldn't think so.
They changed it.
No.
So you use the canteen quite a lot for extras,
oh, yes.
Do you?
Oh, yes.
Did you drink alcohol?
No. We used to have an allowance, come to think of it, at one time. But once a week they used to hand out bottles of beer. And, of course... all the fellas knew I didn't drink, so they were all round me for my bottle. No, I didn't drink at that time. I don't drink very much now, come to that. Like a drop of wine now and again, but I'm no drinker.
Did many of the troops drink to excess?
They did, yes. We used to have... I remember two fellas. One fellow, you didn't dare get anywhere near him. He'd want to fight you, But there was another fellow that used to take hold of his arm and take him to bed. He was all right. Just the difference. Just it affects people in different ways. But talking about the canteen though, there was one night we got these flying ants, the same as we got here, but they're about four times the size of ours. And they came in there one night and absolutely cleared the canteen because the wings fell off. They fell in their place, down their necks and all over the place. And we just had to clear out of it. They're a tremendous size.
Do they bite?
Not to my knowledge. I didn't get a bite. I cleared out pretty quick. But and then, of course, there were the white ants, which we had to... they eat through your tent ropes if you're not careful.
Did you have any trouble with tent ropes breaking?
No. We used to keep them pretty... look after them pretty well.
Did you ever have any trouble yourself with white ants?
No. Oh, no. No, but they warned us that you know, to be careful and look at your ropes every day. I think that was all right.
Did you have any problems with any other types of insect in India?
No. There was only once that I ever... Well, only once that I ever saw a live cobra. That was... I think I should have kicked it if it hadn't been that we got a dog with us and he chased it. Otherwise, it looked like a twig, you know, laying in the road to me. I should have kicked it if I'd been on my, you know, if there'd been no dog with us. But he chased it and it went into the hedge.
You had a pet dog in India, did you?
Yes, yeah.
Where did you get it from?
Well, I think it was the... but you see, you can't take them away with you, so I think it must have been left by a previous battalion there. And they, of course, would make friends with... if they want their food. And the... another thing there, at Bangalore, we had these three monkeys there. And, they were lively. There was one there, you could do anything with it. All the tricks of the trade. But the trouble was, he got into an officer's bungalow one night, and he shot it. And it was a pity because, you know, we got quite attached to them, and this one was a really good one. He'd do all sorts of tricks.
Was the officer a bad-tempered type?
Well, he probably didn't know where it came from, you see. He probably didn't know that we'd got them there outside. His bungalow was further along. But I know one night they got loose and they caused a hell of a shindy because their boy, the black boy there, he used to put all his possum pans on the table there for the night, you see. And these monkeys got loose, or one of them got loose. And was throwing these possum pans all over the place at night. We wonder what the diggers was happening. The things they get up to.
What about mosquitoes? Were they a pest?
Oh, they were terrible. Used to even bite through your army socks, your ankles. They used to go for and your eyes. Very often the we got these nets, but they still seem to, you know. Well, I suppose we used to get it during the day when we laid down. For a rest of an afternoon, perhaps. We used to bite the eye, particularly. And I've seen ever so many fellas with these bunged up eyes having to go to the doctor, you know.
What about the army clothing that you had in India? Was it suitable for Indian conditions?
Oh, yes, we had the drill shorts and the khaki shirt for down below on the plains. And then when we were up in the hills, we had this khaki trousers, like the soldiers have here, with the trousers and jackets, you see. You want something warmer up there. But, as I say, when I was up there of convalescence, and when we had to get back to the battalion, we came down by lorry. And we'd all got our khaki drill, khaki uniform on, and we all, because we got down on the plane, it was pretty hot, so we all wanted their khaki drill. So we all stripped and got our, you know, kit bags out and dressed as the lorry went along. He wouldn't stop because he said he knew if he lost this train, he had to wait a couple of 3 hours for another one. So that's what we used to do.
Were there any changes in army dress in the period you were in India?
No.
It just stayed the same the whole time.
Just the ordinary, yeah.
What about looking after the clothing? and bull. Was there much bull?
Much what?
Bull.
Well, I don't know. Not really. I mean, we knew what to do. I mean, we had a kit inspection and all the rest of it, and we knew exactly what to do. Although there was some fellas, if they hadn't got what they ought to have, and then somebody passed it along when the officer had gone past their place, they'd pass it up to the other, somebody else. All tricks of the trade.
Did you look after your own clothing, or was that done by the barrack boys?
We used mostly wash your own stuff. The shirts and that sort of stuff, they we used to send to the Dobie. And they did all the laundry, you know. But their shorts and... shorts and shirt we used to wash ourselves. Because, you could wash your shorts and throw them in on the tent and they'd be dry in half an hour because of the heat.
What about buttons? Did you polish your own buttons or was that done by...
We didn't have any buttons there. Uh-huh. Not done. I don't think we had buttons even on their cold uniform for the cold climate. I don't think we had buttons there, if I remember right. I don't remember cleaning any, anyway.
Did you clean your own boots?
Yes.
So yes. You didn't get servants to do that?
No.
How much attention was paid to health and sanitation in the barracks?
Of course the sanitation wasn't like we've got here. You've got had to be emptied, and that was done at night. But as regards washing and that sort of thing, I mean, everything was what you needed, really. The toilets were away from the barracks, and as I say, they were emptied every night.
I suppose you had to take all kinds of precautions, did you, against getting sick?